Good morning. It's good to be with you. Even if I am recording this, it's actually the 1st of January, January 1st, when I'm recording this, so Monday. And I'm recording it because I do not know when our newest little one will join us. So she can be here anytime. She will definitely be here. Lord willing, she's scheduled to be here on the 8th, if not sooner. So we're hoping and praying that she comes sooner, but it's in the Lord's hands. And I am trying to trust him with it. So you can be praying for Jasmine and for baby Clara, that everything goes well. If the baby does come, before I can get another one of these recorded, you'll probably have radio silence for at least a couple weeks in January on Wednesday as we adjust, I adjust to not sleeping and I try to get back into the routine of the juggle of ministry work and then also work with the other work, contract work. That I do in the marketplace. For those of you who don't know, I'm bivocational, so I wear a few hats. So I appreciate your patience and your prayers. This morning, I had two minds about me. One was to talk about Epiphany, January 6th, which is the day when the three magi, which are the priests of the Chaldeans, come from the east to offer gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. Looking at that story, and the significance of those things. But I also wanted to take note of the fact that it is the new year. And I am sure that there will be a number of messages exhorting you towards intentionality and faithfulness in this new year. But another one doesn't hurt. So that's what we'll be doing. Specifically, we'll be looking at Ephesians 5, somewhere around verses 8 through 20. I'm going to hit a smattering here of those verses for our purposes this morning. But that's where we will be. And we're just going to be looking at the idea of what has God said about how we should live our lives. Because as Christians, we should be seeking to align the patterns of our lives, the way that we live our lives. We should be seeking to live our lives in light of the scripture. So if God has said that he would like us to live in a certain way, then we should seek to live in that way. And this goes beyond just sort of a moralism of don't do this, do this. But if we are indeed a new creation, God, the original creation had an intended purpose. Everything had intention and purpose. And so God hasn't changed. And so if we are a new creation in Christ, then there is intention and purpose in that. And so then our job is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, as Romans 12 talks about, that our minds would be changed as we encounter the Spirit of God. The thing which is different between a Christian and a non-Christian is not our ability to rationally think through and assess things. It is our ability to see and understand and love and appreciate and live out the will of God. And that is only enabled because we've been made a new creation in Christ. We died in him and rose in him. And being risen in Christ, we are now able to be filled with the Spirit who conveys the mind of God and intercedes for the mind of God within us. And so we are a new creation. And so we turn to a new year, and we turn to this idea of being a new creation. And what does that mean? As we look out and we're making plans about our fitness, about our budget, about how we'll spend our time, about maybe some family goals and some things like that. Maybe we're planning a vacation or trying to get out of debt. There's a myriad of things that are coming to our mind, things we know we ought to do that we haven't been, things that we'd started last year but kind of tapered off, things that need some shoring up. There's many things there vying for our attention. And what I would say to you is that as you think about these things, your first thought should be, and what has the Lord said about these things? So, of course, we can go to the scripture for that. But to just lay a broad framework that you should, to build a case that the way that you should think about life as if it is given to you by God for a purpose, that you are a new creation created with a telos, with a purpose, with an intention, that God didn't just save you just so that you could be in heaven with him forever. He saved you so that now you could join him in the work of declaring the kingdom of God to the whole of creation. And so there, you're filled with the Spirit. That means you have gifts and talents. But that also means that as the Spirit fills you, that your mind becomes changed and you're able to know and see and discern the will of God, not only broadly, but specifically for you. You're able to discern what gifts and talents and season of life does God have me in, and what can that look like to offer that back to God. So, as I said, we'll be in Ephesians 5, and we're going to look at verse 8. It says, "For you were once in darkness," talking to Christians, "but now you are in the light. You are light in the Lord." So you were once darkness, but now you are light. So there's the transition. You were darkness, separate, cold, away from, unable to see, search, understand. But now you are light in the Lord. And so we're connected to the Lord who himself dwells in inapproachable light. And so we become light. That means that, one, we can understand and begin to see the Lord, but also that now we are projecting out into the world of darkness, that we become lights in the darkness. So therefore, he says, that we are to live as children of light. For the fruit, what is that? What does it mean to live as children of light? The fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So we are to work to become more good, more righteous, and more in accordance with the truth. We do that by the power of the Spirit, which we'll get to. So we are to live as children of the light and find out what pleases the Lord. So as we orient our lives, as we think about our time, as we think about the things we are doing, we should find out what pleases the Lord. This is an adventure. It's an ever-progressing thing. As we begin to understand ourselves more and more and begin to know God more and more, we see more and more that can be changed into and be brought into accordance with the will of God. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. Fruitless deeds of darkness. But rather expose them. So you have this wordplay again. Don't participate in the things that bring about more darkness, either to yourself or to the world. But rather, as the light, expose them, bring light, illuminate the darkness so that it can be seen for what it is, the absence of light itself. And so by illuminating, you actually push back the darkness in your life and in the world. He says it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient, whom we all once were, do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything illuminated becomes a light. So the vision here is that we would become lights, and that we'd become brighter and brighter lights, and that we would go into the darkness and expose the deeds of the darkness. But we expose the deeds of the darkness not to shame them, but rather to turn those deeds of darkness, reorient them, and to bring them into the light, just as we have been brought into the light. And so as you go into your new year, that is your mission. You are to be a light, to bring light, to illuminate, not just to expose, not just to tear down, not just to make known, but to then bring those things into the light so that what is illuminated may become illuminated itself, becoming a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper." If you close your eyes, what do you see? Darkness. "Rise from the dead, darkness, and Christ will shine on you." So how have you come to know God? You have come to know God through the shining light of His Son. And so then He invites you by the Spirit to become a shining light of the Son to the world. So, realizing that that has taken place and that is the telos, the reason, the purpose behind your being made new, verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Careful, attention, give care to, give full consideration of how you live. Not as unwise, there's the thought process again, unwise, darkness, unable to see, but as wise. So unwise is unable to see and understand the will of God, but wise is able by the Spirit to see and understand the will of God. So be careful. Ask in every situation, what is the will of God? So that you can make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity. Bring light into your family. Bring light into your workplace. Bring light into the church. Bring light into all of the crevices, into the gym. Bring light into your fitness and your finances and make those things, illuminate them by the light of God. You know, I live as a glutton, or I have an unhealthy relationship that's not redeemed by Christ with food. I have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. I have an unhealthy relationship with these things, and I'm going to illuminate that, not to shame, but to turn that thing into itself a light so that the light of Christ would spread in my life. And as it spreads in my life, I illumine and shed light on the world around me so that the light of Christ can then spread there. This is the idea there. So be careful. Look intentionally at how you live your life. Live as if with the Spirit. This is he says this explicitly. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, darkness, unaware, but understand what the Lord's will is. You've been illuminated. You have access by the Spirit to understand God's will. The Word of God can communicate to you. You can take the eternal perspective, not the temporary perspective that is all you and yours, but the eternal perspective that is the kingdom of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. You are a co-heir. And so take that idea with you into the world as you're making your plans. Do not be foolish in darkness, fixated on this temporal world, but understand what the Lord's will is for eternity. And then he does this. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which is the clouding of your mind, which leads to debauchery, which leads to actions that you might literally not remember. Blackout drunk is a thing. And so he's aware. This is the culture he's speaking to. People know what that phrase is. They know what that idea is. They've seen that play out. The person who's always reacting sensually to what's going on. The person who has no inhibitions. The person who has no forethought. Don't act in that way. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of the eternal God. Have the eternal perspective of God given to you in Christ Jesus. And what does that look like? Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit. Speak the truth. Sing the truth. Participate fully together in the truth and beauty. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Direct your heart to the Lord. Direct your heart to the Lord and do that together. This is by singing we are illuminating. We very much are illuminating. We're shining a light. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we take the eternal perspective, all of our life, everything this year will bring us, when we look at the eternal perspective, Christ is reconciling all things to himself through his life, death, and resurrection. And so all things taken on the eternal perspective will be used to bring the glory of God and will bring the fullness of life, and not one thing will be unused for the glory of God and the good of all creation. That's the eternal perspective. Now participate in that, anticipate that, give thanks to God for that, and then how can I bring myself to live more in line with that truth? And what can I do to reorient my life around that truth? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time with you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness, that if we have placed our faith in Christ and submitted our life to him, that you have delivered us from the domain of darkness and you have transformed us into light, that we ourselves become light. We are the light of Christ has shone on us and made us holy lights by your Spirit. And so thank you that your Spirit indwells us. Help us to recognize his voice so that we might discern from your word what we ought to do and then apply your revelation to the everyday actions of our lives, that we might honor and glorify you in everything that we say and do this year. We ask for your patience and your mercy and your guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great morning.